different names. I had talked about that before in the past. But to be honest with you, I thought it was kind of complicated. And I just kind of wait, you know. But finally, when he presented it, he got pretty deep pretty quick. So what I've tried to do since he left is to put it in a very simplified form, because I'm going to actually present this here, and then I'm going to present what's on the back, and I'll get you out of here on time. And maybe I won't have, and I'll just have a little short heading from now on, because I'm going to talk about the overcomer, because I need to make that plain. And you can't make it plain unless you go through the things that give absolute proof that Jesus is God. And there really is a Godhead, but it's one God. But it has to be, you ought to make it perfectly clear to the people you're teaching, because it's just better that way. And I'm going to get into a bunch of stuff here where I won't even show you anything like this. And I'll have a little short heading up there, and I'll start on this. Because I really want people to understand about the overcomer, because it's something I learned after I came up here, and I didn't have it right when I came up here. And I didn't make any mistakes. I just didn't really understand it fully. And I want to make it plain. So that's why I'm going through this one tonight. I made this up this afternoon. Jesus is the only man who came as the Son to overcome the devil's power over the first Adam as the seed of God. We'll read it again. Jesus is the only man who came as the Son to overcome the devil's power over the first Adam as the seed of God. Genesis 3:15-21. Now I'm going to show you something about this that I've taught it before, but never with this intensity, because I came to understand something about it. I didn't misteach it, and I'm not trying to cover up any mistakes, but I could have made this a lot clearer. Now I'm going to make it very clear. Considering what was just there in big print, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." You remember how many times I've told you that the serpent's power is in its head? And if you step on its head, it won't bite you. If you really step on a serpent's head, it may crawl off and keep on existing in a pitiful state till a king snake eats it. But Jesus actually bruised his head. I'll guarantee you what that means. It means that he removed Satan's power to undo what he had done to man, and had robbed man of the inheritance because Adam listened to Eve. "And thou shalt bruise his heel." I've told you many times that meant it when he walked on the earth. This is exactly what it means. Now let's put those two together. God had to come as Emmanuel. He had to walk on this earth as a man. That's what that means. That's the only way he could break the power of Satan, by walking on this earth as a man and then dying for our sins. That's exactly what that means. I understand it now better than I ever have, but we got into a period here where I thought, "Lord, they don't understand that." And I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk out of school, but I didn't say anything to you, did I? I didn't say a word to you. I just smiled, and I talked to Leonard about it, and Leonard didn't like talking about it. And so I just said, okay. So I just let him alone completely. But he taught some things I didn't agree with, and they were kind of piling up. I still didn't do anything. And I kept praying about it and praying about it and praying about it. I didn't give God any instructions. And I just trusted God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought, maybe God will kill me. maybe it's me, because I thought maybe I'm doing something wrong. And so I just went ahead. But anyway, let's go on with this. Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, lamb skins, and clothe them. Look who did it. Look who covered their sins. Look what blood covered it, innocent blood of animals. Well, that didn't take away any sin, and God knew that, but he left it so we could understand it better. That's why it's a better covenant. They didn't understand it. But God gave us the ability to understand it, because with the passage of time, the devil has gained strength, power. Look out there at these women that are putting out for the troops. Look out there. Look at it. It's pitiful. And they run around in short dresses and try to get men to look at them. I'm over that. I thought I'll never master. Well, I couldn't master this. But God just, I don't do that anymore. The minute that it starts to hit me, I just say, no. You say, well, do you ever twist the truth around without telling a lie and so you won't look bad? Maybe once in a while. You know, I'm not perfect. But this thing I had about women, my father was the same way. And it just tore me apart all the time. And Cooney used to sit down here in a short dress on the front, and I was up there trying to preach. And I thought, Lord, help me remember these scriptures. And I don't know if you ever noticed it, but when we were over there, I always preached over on this side of the church, and she sat right here. But she sat here, and I looked over there. That's why I slipped in the floor over there. And that's why I jumped up in the air and said, and I was irritated. I was mad. You don't know what I went through. But it's okay now. He says, in his foreknowledge, God knew Adam would make the wrong choice. But to be a free choice, it would be necessary for God himself, in the image and form of man, to redeem man by giving them a free choice and authority to become sons of God. Three offices of the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ fulfilled all three of those offices. And he sits in heaven now, that he, as Almighty God, might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. God doesn't think like we do, and thank God he doesn't. I thanked him many times for that. I said, Lord, I'm sure glad you're not like us. And I don't know if he'll ever be that way. And so I now understand a lot of this stuff. And I'm grateful to Leonard, because Leonard knew some things I didn't know, and a lot of them were correct. And so that made me feel good. But at the same token, I just couldn't sit back there and listen to things that I knew he was preaching that were wrong. But I said, no, I got so irritated sometimes I just lost my cool. And I'd go back to the house and confess to God, and he wouldn't bother me. And I thought, well, maybe I'm doing all right. And I thought, no, I've just got to learn to be a little quieter and nicer and smile. And I think the kids put it in the best way. They could tell when I came home. I wouldn't say anything to them about it. I didn't talk to them, did I, Mike? No, I just came in. You could tell. And they start saying, put on your smiley face. And so I'd walk up to the door. When I'd go in, I'd go like this. And they say, okay, you can take it off now. I do keep my smiley face on now most of the time. For since by man came also the resurrection of the dead, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He's my brother. He's also my heavenly Father. He's also my Holy Spirit. And all of him is right in here. I'm an overcomer. Why? Because he overcame. I'm righteous. Why? Because he was righteous. The only reason I'm righteous is because he lives in me. That's imputing it to me. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I believe him. And also on the overcoming, why would he have put that in there? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, ek psyche, from the soul. That's the sealed soul. He said, whatever you do, don't do it to me from your carnal nature. Don't do that. And I did a lot of service to God because I wanted attention. I wanted recognition. I wanted to be praised. I wanted to be somebody in the ABA. Lord have mercy. I didn't even realize it. And God's the only one who can teach you that. And if you just been this because you want to be somebody and have recognition and attention, but God called me into it because God knows everything. Thank God he knew he could straighten me out. And then thank God he knew I wanted to be straightened out. So it's a long journey. Now, he says that he will sing praise in the midst of the church to his Father, to his God. That's what I do when I sing. Maybe it's wrong to sing loud, but that's what I do. Man, I'm not singing to you all. I'm singing it to him. Now, if you like what I'm singing, praise God. If you don't like what I'm singing, get over it. He says, but every man, for as in Adam all die, and every man in his own order. Christ was the first fruit. You know who I am? I'm Tom McElmurray, the first fruit of Marshall McElmurray. You know who my brother is? He ain't nothing. He's not a first fruit. I'm the first fruit. And so I get all the inheritance. Lord have mercy. I should have let him be the first fruit. But I am the first fruit. Now, Jesus is the first fruit. Man, I wish I'd have had a perfect brother. And my brother probably wishes he had a perfect brother. But he's the first fruits. He's the first fruit. And he's my brother. Man, he's my brother. Do you know what I've discovered recently? Come to understand most of it? He's my friend. I mean, he's my friend. And if you really understand that, you lose a lot of your fear. Because it's like having your big brother walking alongside of you. And if somebody comes up and hits you, you just hit the ground and sit there and feel sorry for yourself. And then just sit there. And pretty soon this guy says, well, I've already whipped him, and leaves. And the Lord takes care of him in his own way. Maybe he doesn't do anything to him. Maybe I needed to be hit. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. That's you and I. Well, you know that Rachel's mom, Doris Anthony, died. Did you know that? Rachel's mother?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, she passed away. She was blind as a bat. If I ever saw a Southern Belle, she was a Southern Belle. Lord, I love that lady. She was a Southern Belle. But I'm not the least unhappy. Because right now, she's up there in heaven. And she's already met Imogene. She can see. Imogene couldn't see either. Now they both can see. And I think Cecil and those that have gone on before us, your mom and your dad, and whoever you were related to that you were close to, and your mom and your dad, Lisa, I think they see a lot of what we do. But I don't preach that. But I believe that. I have a lot of reasons for believing that. But it doesn't matter. I guarantee you, the first thing that Imogene's going to want to know, if she hadn't done it already know it, is, how's Tom doing? That's the first thing she'll want to know. And the first thing those loved ones of yours, they now want to know when somebody else goes up there like Doreen, I bet the first thing the little woman asks is, how's Donna doing? And then she'd ask about the kids. You say, you act like you really... I do. I do. And it's not trying to comfort myself. It's because I believe that the Bible indicates that. I've seen too many signs of it. I can give you too many stories as I've watched people die. And I've seen too many times they say, can't you see him? They're the light. They're the light. Can't you see them coming? Died right there. And I couldn't, you know, I just, and you remember Herbert Maher? He said, sometimes when I do a funeral for a real sweet person in the church, and he said, they're just wonderful people. They've become friends of Jesus. Everybody in church just loves them. He says, I'm always afraid that I won't do a good job at their funeral. And I ask God to help me to do a good job. Well, I do that for all of them. And he did too. And he said, when someone like that dies, he said, you'd be surprised how many funerals I've done outdoors where there wasn't a wind, or there wasn't just not even a breeze, not anybody going. And he says, when I finished and I said the prayer and I raised up my head, this man was, Lord, he was staunch, but he was a wonderful man. He said, I would feel a gentle, soft breeze pass right across my face. He said, I think, do you remember he told us that? Yeah, Herbert helped me a lot. Herbert was a very intelligent man. He was a superintendent of schools. Very fine Christian man. Married a good woman named Margie. I always stayed with him. He had a lot of records of people that I liked to listen to. But I learned a lot from him, and I've learned a lot with people from the death experiences. I could tell you death experiences of seminary teachers where they were up above watching the surgeons operate on them. And all of a sudden, they started pounding and pumping, and he said, all of a sudden, I just went back into my body. Dean Capel, he was the dean of the school. So preachers are afraid to share a lot of that with you because they're afraid the way other preachers talk about it, they'd think you were crazy. God knows we don't need that. We don't have to have that to believe God. I think maybe that's why he shows it to us. And once in a while, we'll get a group like this, and you all can handle it. But there's some church members and some of our churches never could handle it. Okay. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now, he was not a quickening spirit. God was in him. The Spirit of God was breathed in him. He could pass on physical life. But apparently he couldn't pass on spiritual life. We used to talk, the instructors and others in the school, we used to talk about this, and we'd say, well, what would have happened if they'd have had a child? And the conclusion we came to is, we don't know. But if he would have had a child, then that child would have lived forever with the fruit that represented the paradise that represented Christ. I think that's why he ran them out. He said, lest they eat of the tree of life. So I've learned a lot by listening to other preachers. I'm not so smart anymore. I listen to people. And I have to judge their character and how much they know about the Bible. But I've learned a lot from people, and it's been a lot better for me. But I'm very guarded at what I teach people. Because there's some people on this church roll, if I told them what I just told you, they'd think I was crazy. Howbeit, that was first, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, Adam, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He's the quickening spirit. As is the earthly, such are they that are earthly. Adam was my forefather, and I got his nature. My immediate father was my forefather, and I got his nature. And Lord, I wish I could have been a nice, passionate man that had to be lured and tempted into thinking bad things. But, you know, that's where we got all the problems we have. And after Adam fell, it was a multiplicity of things that happened. His countenance fell. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, he will. It was just like he lost something. What he lost was the spirit that sustained him, and kept him on the right track and gave him the ability to make a choice. But God had to do it the way he did it, because otherwise it wouldn't have been a free choice. Otherwise, Calvinism would be correct. God would have said, I'm going to send Kenneth to hell. I'm going to send Donna to rapture. I wonder if you've been raptured while you're out here. And I'm going to send my sweetheart. I'm going to send her to heaven. I don't know about this side. Y'all have been to Watergate or whatever that was. Y'all went up there. Anyway, he said, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And God said, 8 Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now let me put this in as plain a way as I can. God took on the earth becoming, blood flowing image as the seed to fulfill the office of the Son of God, who is able to quicken descendants of the fallen Adam by his new birth gift of eternal life. That's it. That's what I tried to figure out for years. I prayed about that to God, and I said, Lord, I don't want to know it so I'll look smart or anything. I said, I just want to understand this. That's it. And I feel good, and I'm going to quit praying about it. Because if that ain't it, God said, that's all I want you to know. Oh, Lord. And he said unto me, let's go on down. Revelation 21:5-7. And he that sat on the throne, now remember, we're over in Revelation 21:7. Behold, I make all things new. You say, well, I know what that is. That's the new heaven, new earth. Did you ever think about that? I was sitting there a little while back, and I thought, good Lord, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus had already ascended. He was fully God in every way, always has been. And he went back and he said, I've got to prepare a place for you. There were the disciples, 11 of them. That's all there were. And he went back and he made the new heavens and the new earth for the saved and the faithful. And guess where the faithful are going to live? Why would he say, I make all things new? Did you ever think about that? I didn't until a couple of weeks ago. You say, well, where'd you get that? I think I got it from Scripture. I read over that thing and I say, I've always wondered about that. And it is the new heavens, the new heaven and new earth. It was prepared personally by Jesus Christ, who had already shed his blood, gave his life, done all those things. Now he was going back up and make a new city for all those who came by his blood. And that would include all the way back to Adam. Remember Genesis 4, chapter 1, chapter 4, where he said, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You say, no, they had to bring those sacrifices. If they came to the Lord and they were afraid of hell and his condemnation, he would save them. Because, brother, if I'd had to understand all this, I'd be headed for hell right now. You can't understand this until after he comes to live in you. And after you get baptized, you can sure understand a whole lot more than you did before. But people don't want this. They just don't want this stuff. I just thank God I do. And I thank God you do. And I didn't even know that this kind of bliss and joy existed until I finally one night said, I'll go, Lord. I'll do it. I promised him. I said, I'll do it. I didn't want to do it. I had a perfect setup. I was preaching revivals all over the United States, didn't have a church to pastor, and I was going lickety-split, and I promised God, and I didn't want a church. I wanted to just keep going over and telling them all this stuff. I was learning stuff. I was learning about the church and everything else. I didn't want to pastor a church. Don't ask me why. I didn't want to. You say, well, the Bible says you've got to have a desire for it. That's what preachers keep telling me. But I didn't want to. I was so happy, and I was teaching. Well, anyway. Well, you see how much you've got to learn? And you understand why God says he didn't call many that are wise after the flesh? I'm glad he said many. I'm glad to say he didn't call any. Because if God hadn't called me, I'd have never learned this. I would never have learned this. And I know that. He just guided me around. I didn't even know what he was doing. He said, and he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And said unto him, it is done. Now listen, if you go back and look at the context on this, this is not God the Father. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It is Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. Now look at the chapter. As God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and it's Jesus Christ. I called Tommy on this one. I said, I want to be sure about that. I called him this afternoon. I said, I've taught that for years. And I said, I want to be sure. Said, oh, yeah, that's it. I trust him more than I trust myself. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Where does the water of life come from? Ken? Where does the water of life come from? What? Well, it comes from him. And where is he located? Well, where is he going to be located in the new heaven and new earth? Where the water of life is. That's exactly what it means. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I pick on Ken because he can take it. That's why I pick on him, and he doesn't mind. Don't ever get the idea I'm picking on Ken. And Ken, come talk to me and say, you ought to quit picking on him. Ken understands, don't you? Yes. You better understand. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Jesus said that. He's the Alpha and Omega. I love this. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority. To them gave he authority to become the sons of God. I'm a son of God. Even to them that believe on his name. I'm a son of God only because the firstborn gave his righteousness to me. Came to live in me and made me an overcomer. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the truth. That's the truth. Man alive. And it wouldn't have been nice if we could have known this when I first came up here. We weren't ready, were we? We grew up together. Anime and I have grown up together. Anime's my friend. I believe Anna's also God's friend. I believe every one of you are God's friends. I think I was God's friend before I knew it. But God let me know it. When I finally got over there and looked and see what he said, that Abraham became the friend of God. Abraham is saved by that same blood. And I guarantee you, he could explain this a lot to you better than I just did. But I think one of the blessings of life is letting God explain to you how blessed you really are. And it's all by grace. That's by grace. Every bit of it is by grace. And that's really a great thing. Now, Micah 5:1. I've preached this many times. You could preach it yourself. So I'll go real quick. And I'll try to finish by 15 after. Lord have mercy. Have you all got anything? Oh, there's three of you. What you got to eat back there?
That bean stuff.
Bean stuff? Like LaDonna's?
Like Donna Mays.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll hurry then. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. I've told you, and I've gone in Scripture, and I've shown you that all that happened perfectly and exactingly to Jesus Christ. That's his death. That's what happened to him. I can validate every single Scripture in here. And they shall smite the judge of Israel, Christ, with a rod upon his cheek. Now, who laid siege against him? God. He laid siege against him when they crucified his son. Okay, first he covers the blood of Christ. He covers the death of Christ. And this is what happened to Jesus. And this is why when he was resurrected from dead. Hey, that's past history. It's gone forever. It's over. Now he says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, although thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. That's what Moses said. So, this ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, Moses prophesied this. They rejected that child in the manger, and they crucified him when he became the age that he was supposed to be crucified. Therefore, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth? We're on the verge of it. We're in the fifth seal right now, I'll guarantee you. We're on the verge of it. I don't think it will happen. I don't think that Israel will attack the king of the north. And I'm going to be covering that in detail as time passes. Until the last part of the next administration. It might be the last day, but it'll be the last part of the next administration. He says, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. You notice in there he's got a colon. Then the remnant of the brethren shall return to the children of Israel. At the end of the time, that the time of the tribulation period, 1,335 days after Israel attacks Israel, the rapture, we go out. So do the 144,000. The second advent, there he is. He comes back. That's the end of the 1,335 days. You couldn't be any clearer than this. What's he going to do when he gets back? This is going to happen. We're going to see it. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them one God, and that is Jesus Christ. And they shall abide. How long? Forever and ever and ever. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. That's the millennial reign. That's the millennial reign. You say, well, who's he going to be feeding? You and I. All those people that are out there outside the city, the millennial city. What's he going to use us for? He's going to send us out there. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to teach them, and we're going to administer justice. So there it is. You say, well, man, I'm scared to do that. You won't be scared then. You'll be having the greatest joy you ever had in your life. Like the time you want to hit your husband and you can't. Now you can just let him have it right on the backside. And this man shall be the peace. When? When is this peace coming? When the Assyrians shall come into our land. That's that middle part in there that I showed you where Israel advances down. He surrounds them in the Negev. They're kept bounded up. I've covered it for 40 years. And when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. What does 7 shepherds mean? It's a Hebrew idiom. It's a Hebrew idiom. It's a Hebrew idiom. Well, why'd he put the 8 on there? 7 shepherds are enough. But they'll also have an 8th principal man. If you want to picture that, picture the Texas Aggies. The Texas Aggies, they always have the man, invisible man, down on the end of it there.
the 12th man. And this is the reason they're going to succeed. Not because they got enough to do it, but because the 8th man is Jesus. And he is the Shekinah glory. And they will follow him out of there. And they won't be scared anymore, because he'll be in the Shekinah cloud. And whammo! They'll follow him right on over, take all of Iran, take all of Iraq, take all the way up into Syria, take all of Lebanon, go all the way up past Syria to just over the border of northern Syria. That's the kingdom. But he's going to rule over the whole earth. And where are we going to live? Man, I want to live right there inside that city. I don't know if I'll sleep or not, but if I do, when I wake up, he's the first thing I want to see. And to live in that city and to know he's there and just sit around and talk to you all and the other people that have gone on before and until we get sent out on some kind of an assignment, I figure the more you do for him here, the more assignments you're going to get. And so I believe this. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod, that goes all the way across the Euphrates River, all the way across to the Tigris River on the other side, in the entrances thereof. The entrances thereof, well, I'll be. Do you know that there you can wade across the Euphrates in a lot of places? There have been and still are some entrances you can wade across. And the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our island and when he treadeth within our borders. And guess what happens for 1,000 years? And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. There's nothing like a beautiful dew, fresh, perfect water, made by God, accumulated by process on grass and leaves. As the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. It comes up, and if you don't get up on time, you can't see it. And if you don't want it, there won't be any left. It's kind of like manna. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest. Nobody's going to bother Israel for 1,000 years. As a young lion among the flocks of sheep, as if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off, except John Holbrook. Let's go eat something.